I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. I hear Ukraine is beautiful this time of year, but the U.S. State Department advises against going to Ukraine right now, like some 35 other countries around the globe. Ukraine is on the State Department's travel warning list. There's a live conflict there right now, so that's what that's about. In a moment, more on what's happening in Ukraine today and a possible change of fortunes for Kyiv. But first, travel warning, since it's summer. Travel warnings are the strongest way the U.S. can encourage its citizens not to visit a country without ordering an all-out travel ban. Those warnings got the world's own David Conrad thinking. David's our Google Journalism Fellow and is with us in the world's newsroom this summer. And he's just produced an infographic about travel warnings and one intriguing trend.
So 4 years ago, when South Africa first hosted the World Cup, there was a big push toward improving the global image of Africa. And a lot of energy was put into attracting more tourists, not just to South Africa, but across the continent. So my initial interest was quite basically in whether or not this had happened and whether this World Cup's moment of hope and positivity actually resulted in an improved reputation of Africa 4 years later. Now, obviously, this is a big question that I couldn't provide any definitive answer to, but two indicators that I thought were quite revealing and which I decided to look at for this story were U.S. travel warnings, since they, at the very least, help shape American perceptions of places abroad, and travel to Africa by U.S. citizens.
How far back did you start looking as to these travel warnings for Africa, the African continent specifically?
I started in looking at 1996 and then looked at every year from that point forward. And I looked at the first week of June of each year to try and understand going into the summer what this travel warning list looked like.
Right. So what kind of trends have you seen since 1996 with travel to Africa?
Now, I can't draw any direct correlation. And tourism data certainly has a number of limitations, but it is clear that there are more African nations on the travel warning list now than there were 4 years ago and several more than there were 10 years ago or in 1996. In fact, what I think is probably the most striking is that based on the list, the U.S. State Department is saying that U.S. citizens should strongly consider not going to more than one-third of Africa.
Wow, a third of the continent.
Right. And at the same time, travel to Africa by U.S. citizens has decreased every year since the 2010 World Cup. And so it's hard not to wonder whether the travel warnings could be a contributing factor in this decline.
So what are some of the questions that you still would like answered from digging around this data?
I think what is most troubling to me is how vague the criteria seem to be. Kenyans have become quite vocal this summer in being frustrated that the list is causing tourists not to travel to the country. And then you have this tiny Central African nation of Burundi, where I found there hasn't been a single terrorism attack on an American in more than a decade. But it, too, is still on the list, simply because there was a threat that an attack could take place. So I guess regardless of whether or not we can draw a direct correlation between the declining tourism to Africa or to a negative perception of the continent among U.S. citizens, I'm just left with a very basic question of why and how these travel warnings are created.
That was David Conrad, our Google Journalism Fellow here at The World. You can see his fascinating infographic about travel warnings at PRI.org. Now, those questions he brought up, the why and the how the travel bans are created, we wanted to investigate that further, so we're turning to Michelle Bernier-Toth. She's the Managing Director for Overseas Citizen Services at the State Department. She oversees the day-to-day operations of the State Department office that handles international travel warnings. So according to the State Department, a third of Africa now has a travel advisory. I mean, that's a lot of territory. How do you actually go about making these decisions?
The decision on whether to issue a travel warning is a very collaborative process. It's based on information, first of all, from our embassies and consulates overseas in the country, in this case in African countries, who are assessing the security situation on the ground. And they're feeding that information back to Washington. We're taking in information from local governments, from the intelligence and security community, from the media, wherever we can get it. We then do an assessment in Washington as to what this means for traveling U.S. citizens and issue a travel warning, or in some cases a travel alert, based on that information.
Now, for example, Cameroon just got on the list because of a couple of kidnappings. Give us some examples of other reasons why warnings, travel advisors are created.
Kidnappings would be a very good example when it's a chronic problem that affects people very frequently. Very high rates of crime. You see that not just in some of the African countries like Kenya, but also in certain Latin American countries that have recently instituted travel warnings. Or the threat of terrorist action, whether it's specifically directed at U.S. citizens or Western interests, or just in general where you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
How long do these travel advisories last? And when a country does land on one of these lists, what do they have to do to get off the list?
Travel warnings, they do not have any particular expiration date. We will lift them when we deem that the security situation or the conditions that led to the travel warning no longer exist. And so there have been instances where we have determined that, for example, a government's efforts to combat terrorism have been extremely successful and that they have things under control, and we were able to lift the ban.
Now, Michelle, as you may know, Kenya says it doesn't deserve to be on this current list, that it plays into the extremist group's hands. What would you say to Kenyans who say that this is not warranted?
There are, you know, governments don't like to have travel warnings imposed, but our point is that travel warnings are not a reflection of the bilateral relationship we enjoy with the host government. They are simply a reflection, and a very factual, very objective reflection of the security situation as we and our experts see it.
And for countries that get put on these lists, what are the consequences over the long term? What have you found?
I think we generally note that it's not the travel warning in and of itself that has an impact, but the situation on the ground. And as I said, if we see an improvement in the security situation, we then will work to lift that travel warning or to modify the language so that it accurately reflects what's happening.
I mean, surely there are some consequences, though, for a country like Egypt. I mean, they rely so much on tourism that if those people stop going, it's going to hurt them, won't it?
Well, I would think that I know from colleagues in Cairo that, yes, tourism is down in Egypt, but it's probably less a reflection of our travel warning than of the general situation in Egypt.
What was the very first country that the State Department put on a travel warning list?
The farthest back that we could find anything resembling a travel warning was a 1914 message warning Americans in Europe of the impending war and inviting them to leave the region.
Do you have any sense of how many Americans in Europe heeded that warning to get out of Europe in World War I?
I don't, but it was in the thousands. There were some ships that were sent in to help people leave at that time.
Hmm. So John Jay, the first American U.S. Secretary of State, didn't issue a travel advisory about going
to
England, watch
knowledge.
Out for those guys and that revolution thing.
He certainly didn't tweet it out.
What's your sense of how much Americans actually listen to these travel warnings? Do they pay attention?
I think they do. We hear about it from our contacts in the travel industry. We hear about it from private Americans. I hear about it from friends and family. I believe that increasingly people are paying attention. And I would note, paying attention not just to the U.S. travel information, but to that of other countries. Many other governments put out similar information. And we encourage people to compare, you know, what we say as opposed to other countries to get a full picture of what's going on.
Michelle Bernier-Tote with the Overseas Citizen Services at the State Department. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Again, you can see just where those State Department travel advisories are around the world. That infographic is at PRI.org. And while you're there, we're wondering about your travel plans. Do the advisories factor in? Have you visited or are you visiting a country on the no-go list? Let us know at PRI.org.